Happy Valentine's Day, Lord. You are our Valentine. You, we delight in you. We love you, Lord. You are our, be our Valentine, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I thank you for these wonderful, precious people for whom Christ died. Lord, they've come here because they're hungry for you. They've come to meet with God. Lord, they won't leave disappointed. Father, I pray you make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I can speak forth the oracles of God with simplicity and clarity, that we can understand the mind of Christ. Father, I thank you for anointing every person's ears with ear salve that removes the clutter and the hustle and bustle of the world. It gives them clarity where they can hear clearly what the Spirit is saying to them. Not only your vision for this church, but your vision for each member of it. Father, I thank you for all of these things. I thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that's here to co-labor with us in the name of Jesus to fulfill your will in the earth. We give you praise for all these things in the name of Jesus. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. By now your Bibles probably should start falling open to Mark chapter 16. And that's been our foundation scripture. The first night, we spoke of the vision, which we're going to read again. Because the Lord has a mind for everything He does. He's very practical. He's very supernatural at the same time. And again, the last thing He wants is another flavor of church on another corner where He can't do anything. So we spoke of the vision the first night. And then last night we spoke about the trap. And the trap being, what I mean by that is, since there's no place right now in Guthrie where you can take the 10 children in the wheelchairs and the Lord be able to heal them, then that means one way or another, and I know they didn't intend to, but every minister and every congregation here has fallen into that trap. Because Jesus is the head of the church, amen?
Amen.
What He says is truth. Amen?
Amen.
What He says is a believer's ministry. That's what a believer's ministry is.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
All right, now let's read what Jesus, the head of the church, calls normal ministry for believers. Not the fivefold. Believers. Start in Mark 16, verse 15. Now you got to understand who... It says, He said unto them. Them who? Well, basically, who He's talking to right here is the fivefold. These are the disciples that have been trained by Him for 3.5 years, and He's giving them their commission. And here's what He says to them, fivefold. Now, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, wait a minute. He's commissioning the fivefold to go out and preach this to make believers. That would be you. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? He's commissioned the 12. He sent them out. Those are the ones He hand-trained for 3.5 years. And He's saying, I want you to go out and multiply now. I want you to go out and preach this gospel. And when they become believers and you teach them like I taught you, now here's going to be the end result. Let's see what's going to happen with believers here, okay? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Oh, I need to take them to a deliverance ministry. You are a deliverance ministry.
Amen.
If you're a believer. Glory to God. Now, this is the head of the church talking. He says, in my name they'll cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. I pray and fear for the men who do not allow tongues in their church.
Amen.
Who are they to set aside the word of the living God?
Amen.
Who are they to take authority and usurp His authority when it comes to their congregation? God help them. I pray mercy. I pray the blood for them. I do not want to stand before the throne and try and explain that one. Father, we pray for them right now.
Yes, Father, give them mercy.
God, we pray that their life not end in such a way that they, when they stand before you, Lord, their works are all burnt up. Lord God, show them the truth. We pray for them, Father. We bind the God of this world. You take your hands off of their eyes that they can see the truth. Oh, Father, they don't realize what they're doing. I know they don't. They don't realize that they're usurping the authority of Jesus. But, Father, we pray forgiveness. You said whose sins we remit, they're remitted, Father. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. We pray forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Believers will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Again, from last night, that does not mean you're supposed to go up into the hills of Appalachia and open up a basket of rattlesnakes and handle them to prove your faith. Now, you just bought a big lie from the devil if you think that. That's just like the devil telling Jesus to go up on top of the temple and jump off to prove his faith. I mean, you know, tempting Jesus himself to commit suicide. Twisting scripture to do it. The devil's still doing that. He's doing it through preachers that have their people come and handle rattlesnakes, for example. Now, the real truth of this you find in the book of Acts. Paul had been shipwrecked along with many others. He was gathering up some firewood for it to make a fire. A poisonous viper came out and bit him on the hand. Everyone expected him to die. Everyone on that island knew those kind of snakes killed you. Paul just shook it off. He knew. He knew. If it come to it, if the devil tried to kill him through a poisonous snake, it isn't going to harm him. And Jesus said, it won't harm believers. He's talking about you now. Now that, again, that doesn't mean that you go out and pet rattlesnakes. But when you're out, I was thinking of Maurice last night. He went out on the streets after the service, just seeing if he could gather in another soul to the kingdom. Now, I mean, that's God. I mean, you got to have God to do stuff like that. You know? And I was thinking, I wonder how many 12-foot, 14-foot tall angels goes with him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, I wouldn't want to be the guy that would try and give Maurice trouble. You know? I wouldn't want to be a snake that would come along and try and bite him. You know? I mean, this is what Jesus is saying. He said, you better understand, you have hooked into the supernatural when you become a believer in me. And a viper that would normally kill any man that it bit couldn't kill Paul. He just shook it off in the fire. He knew who his Savior was. Hallelujah. We're learning who ours is. Same one. Glory to God. Not only that, if you drink any deadly thing. Now, again, he's not talking about putting God to a foolish test, but I'm telling you, you become a Maurice or you become a Marvin, and let's say this church does progress and really starts operating in power, you might as well know you're going to have enemies. And, you know, our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's through the Spirit that's in that flesh and blood. They may try and kill you. Someone told me that there's witches' covens around here.
Oh, yes.
They may take their best shot. They may slip some poison in your drink. Look what he said. Well, no point worrying about that. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. Are those words read in your Bible? Are we talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, Him who cannot lie? You have it on His authority that as long as you're a believer in Him and being about your Father's business, I don't care what kind of traps they lay for you, even poison, it will not hurt you. Glory to God. And this is the one we're really after. Believers. Not the fivefold. He's commissioning the fivefold to go make believers. And believers shall lay hands on the sick.
Hallelujah.
And they shall recover.
Glory to God.
Now again, I think this is good for your spirit man to do this. All I'm going to do is just agree with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to say these words present tense because we're believers in here, are we not?
Yes.
I'm going to just say this. We're just going to agree with Jesus. Is that all right with you?
Yes.
Say, I have believed.
I have believed.
I have been baptized.
I have been baptized.
I am saved.
I am saved.
These signs follow me.
These signs follow me.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I cast out devils.
I cast out devils.
They obey me.
They obey me.
When I speak.
When I speak.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And I command devils.
And I command devils.
They obey what I say.
They obey what I say.
If I take up serpents.
If I take up serpents.
Even poisonous ones.
Even poisonous ones.
If they attack me.
If they attack me.
It will not hurt me.
It will not hurt me.
If someone slips poison,
if someone slips poison
in my food and water,
in my food and water,
it will not harm me.
It will not harm me.
And I myself,
and I myself,
because I'm a believer,
because I'm a believer,
when I lay these hands,
when I lay these hands
on the sick,
on the sick,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
they recover.
They recover.
That's the word of Jesus.
That's the word of Jesus.
Him who cannot lie.
Him who cannot lie.
I agree with him.
I agree with him.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, probably the best thing you could do this afternoon is take about 4 hours and do that. Do that. Feed your spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit. They are life. Let me tell you something. He talked about, you got to eat his word. You know, he says, my words, they are spirit. Well, what are you at your core? Your spirit. His words are food for you.
Yes.
Now, in the natural, if I come up and I offer Linda here a banana, in the natural, I'm offering natural food, right? And she could receive that banana and admire that banana and look at the banana, and she could do that for a week and not eat anything else. Is that banana going to do her any good?
No.
No. She's going to have to do what? Eat the banana. Now think about this. Think about this. Has any of you ever eaten a banana without first putting it in your mouth?
No.
You can't eat the Word of God without putting it in your mouth.
Amen.
Say it. You have to say it and say it like you believe it and say it like you mean it.
Amen.
Let's do it again. Amen. You're eating. You're never reading alone helps. I don't say it won't. You can meditate. You can do a lot of things. But if you're ever going to eat the Word of God, you're going. Why do you think God uses that analogy? You can't eat it without putting it in your mouth.
Right.
That's why I told Joshua, don't let this depart out of your mouth. You keep the Word in your mouth all the time, Joshua. You chew on this, boy. Chew on it. Eat it. Eat some more. Yeah, but I did that already. Eat some more. Your spirit man's starving.
Right.
Got that? The starving Marvin. I can't help it. And right now he is. So that's appropriate. Let's do it again. Let's eat some more. Y'all hungry?
Yes.
Let's eat some more, okay? Now what? Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I've been baptized.
I've been baptized.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
These signs follow me.
These signs follow me.
Because I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I myself.
I myself.
I cast out devils.
I cast out devils.
I speak with new tongues.
I speak with new tongues.
I take up serpents.
I take up serpents.
If I drink any deadly thing.
If I drink any deadly thing.
It will not hurt me.
It will not hurt me.
I lay hands on the sick.
I lay hands on the sick.
And they recover. Hallelujah. Glory to God now.
Hallelujah.
Now you start doing that for a little while and eating like that, your spirit man is going to not be that little skinny, weak thing that the devil's been laughing at. Your spirit man is going to start pumping some iron. You're going to start eating some vitamin C, vitamin A for your spirit man. You're going to start getting some iron and nutrients in there and start growing up. And that next time that devil laughs in your face by bringing a wheelchair person across your path, you look at you and say, that cannot be that skinny, weak Christian that I've been defeating his whole life.
Okay.
Who is that? Looks a lot like Jesus.
Yes.
Well, it is. It is his spirit that he put in you grown up to look just like him.
That's right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah. You talk about joy now.
Amen.
You talk about joy. And what's the best part? You know when the disciples went and they cast out those devils, Jesus sent them out, you know, two by two, and they come back, and they were astonished.
Yes.
I mean, they were more surprised than the devil. They said, Master, even the devils are subject to us. To us, in your name.
Yes.
I mean, they were overjoyed. Devils came out when we spoke. Peter's going, I can't believe it. I'm astonished. We're surprised. That's why they were acting like that. What? Remember that joy we've been talking about when the little kids start jumping out of the wheelchairs and the blind eyes start? You think that's not going to be joyful? Cast out a deaf, mute spirit in Jesus' name and that person can hear and speak? Now, is there going to be joy in this place or what?
Hallelujah.
And it's not that Jesus is against that. He's going, yes, I know that. I know that. I saw the devil fall a long time ago. He says, but now listen, don't ever forget what your real joy is. He says, that's good. That's okay. I'm glad you're glad. But rejoice over this. Your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
Now, he was saying to them, you have been born again.
Glory.
Now, let's eat some more. Y'all want to eat some more?
Yes.
Now, we had a banana. Let's have an apple. Okay? When I was born the first time, I was born with Adam's spirit.
I was born with Adam's spirit.
It had death in it.
It had death in it.
I was from below.
I was from below.
But when I was born again, my dead spirit, was quickened.
Was quickened
to life.
To life.
I have been born from above.
I have been born from above.
I am in this world.
I am in this world.
But I am not of this world.
I am not of this world.
Heaven is my home. I'm just a traveler here. I'm an ambassador.
I represent
the King of Kings,
the King of Kings.
The Lord of Lords,
the Lord of Lords.
The King of Glory.
In His name,
I cast out devils.
I
speak with new tongues. Natural things have no dominion over me. Poison can't hurt me. And I lay hands on the sick. They recover. In Jesus' name. Now praise Him. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth may pass away. These words will never pass away. That's the gospel.
Hallelujah.
That's what we're to preach.
Amen.
Glory to God. And that's what we're to live. And we're going to get there. And I mean, we're going to get there quicker than you think.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Y'all having a good time?
Amen.
I'm about to have one of them Oklahoma running fits myself. Glory to God. Can't you tell that's feeding your spirit, man?
Yes.
What do you think you'd be like if you start walking around talking like that?
Glory.
You feed yourself. You put that word in your mouth and eat it. You eat it by saying it. You say it and you say it. And boy, I mean, you're preaching to yourself. And you're preaching good, you old flaky thing, you.
Glory.
You know. And you're going from that old flaky thinking, you're going to start thinking like Jesus.
Amen.
Pretty soon you go, that devil, you know, that's been running you all over. Oh, my finances. Oh, my back. Oh, my marriage. Oh, my troubles. And pretty you feed that spirit, man. You know, it's like that 99-pound weakling thing. He goes off and he starts getting some of that, Joe Weiner stuff. I bought some of his barbells when I was a teenager. You know, I started pumping iron. Now, I mean, started pumping iron. I went out looking for some of them bullies. They used to kick sand in my face. You know what I'm saying? You start pumping some of this iron. You start eating the right stuff. And I mean, you just, instead of running from the devil, in the morning when you wake up, the devil goes, oh no. Believers in Guthrie are getting up again.
Glory.
I wonder what part of my work they're going to destroy today.
Glory.
How many blind eyes are going to be open today?
Hallelujah.
How many deaf ears are going to come open today? It took me 14 years to get that one person possessed with devils, and they're going to cast them out with a word.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that sounds real good, doesn't it?
Yes.
It is good, isn't it?
Amen.
Now, here's the thing. I don't want to burst your bubble. I got all excited when I started finding out what the real gospel is. Man, I didn't know near what I know now. But I could read. I could read. I knew what it said. I started hunting me up someone to pray for. Put my little hands upon their head. And I mean, I expected them to get healed.
Amen.
They died within about an hour. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. Prayed for some more. Some of them didn't. They didn't all die, thank God.
Most of them didn't recover any faster than what you'd expect normally. What is wrong? I said last night there's a big difference between head knowledge and heart faith. Now, when I was trying to learn what real faith is, Sue knows me. I'm pretty diligent when it comes to studying and things like that. I have read every book, listened to every tape, dissected the word for myself. I mean, I can tell you faith is this now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, while we look not at those things which do appear, for the things which here appear, so forth and so on. And you can get a little bit of increase that way. We'll just go here. While I'm talking, turn to John 17. Then I heard an old war horse. Pastor Dave was telling us about this. An old war horse that had served God for his whole lifetime. Lester Summerall, who just recently went home for his reward. Somebody one time asked him what faith was. And instead of giving him, like I would have, I'd have given him all these definitions from the Word, what faith is. Y'all know who Lester Summerall is? You know who I'm talking about? You know, he had that gruff voice. Lester, what's faith? What is faith? What is faith really? Faith? Faith? Get to know God.
Amen.
If you get to know Him, you'll have faith.
Amen.
He said, can you give me chapter and verse for that, Lester? John 17, verse 3. We talk about eternal life all the time, don't we? Let's see what Jesus calls it. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And let me give you this little analogy. Sue and I were going on our 24th year of marriage this year. December, it'll be 24 years. Now, you know, you've heard of platonic-type marriages where maybe one, they're actually married, but maybe one person, one partner, let's say she lived in Europe, in England, and I lived in the United States. We were legally married, though. But for some reason, circumstances required that within a month or two after we got married, she wound up living in England, and I was still living in America. We never really got to know each other. Now, we could communicate, write letters. We could learn somewhat about each other for 24 years. Well, I might know a little bit about her. But let me tell you something. There's a vast difference in a long-distance type relationship like that and living together for 24 years. Yeah. Now, see, I know Sue. The scary part is she knows me, too. But I'm telling you, that has a lot to do with my faith when it comes to Sue. So you can come and tell me some stuff. I saw Sue doing this, and I saw Sue doing that. And I'd know in an instant, I'd know in a heartbeat whether you're a liar or not. I know her. You could call me, but you might hire a professional voice imitator that can imitate voices and have them call me claiming they're Sue, and maybe that person sounds exactly like Sue. I mean, the inflection of the voice and you know, the sound of it, maybe they're good enough. I wouldn't be able to tell. But you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Amen.
If I let them talk very long, it won't be very long, I'll know you're an imposter.
That's right.
Amen.
Because I know her. I don't know about her. I know her.
Amen.
Amen? Can you see the difference?
Yes, sir.
Now, it's one thing to worship Jesus from afar. It's one thing to even study the Word. You can study the Word and not know Him. I know a lot of guys like that. I know a lot of guys that know chapter and verse better than I do, but they wouldn't know Jesus if He walked in here with a red top hat on that said Jesus on it. They wouldn't know Him. Because what He would do, He'd come in and He'd get Michael out of that chair back there.
That's right.
First thing He'd do, He wouldn't even come up and acknowledge us. That's the compassion of Jesus. He did come. I mean, like, you know, first thing He's going to do is go over there and get Michael out of the chair.
Yeah.
Well, now He knows His Father. He knows. He says, it's not me doing it. It's the Father in me. He knows the Father. If we get to know Him, Christ in us, first thing we do, we don't even do anything till we get Michael out of the chair.
That's
Now, so is the Lord displeased with us? Is He like mad at us because we're not operating at that level? Listen, you're the hope of the world in His sight. Do you understand Jesus Himself is sitting at the right hand of the Father?
Yes.
Now, until He comes back again, all of His hope, all of Jesus' faith, is that we'll become these kind of believers in Mark 16. Because it's only through us that He can work right now. Now, He is coming back again, and everything's going to change.
Amen.
He's coming back. But from the time He left until He does come back, honey, we is it. He is not against you. He's doing everything He can to get us full of knowledge, to get us full of His will, to get us full of the anointing, to get us full of everything we need. But it all comes by fellowship. It comes by relationship. It comes by knowing Him. Knowing Him. Faith is no problem when you know Him. I used to think God was a great big old fuddy-duddy with a long beard with a stick in His hand just waiting until I messed up, boy. You know, one little mistake, bop. You know, and I thought He was a cruel taskmaster that wanted all my money. Really did. And now, if that's the way you think about God, and you can study the Word till your nose falls off, till your eyeballs fall out on the desk. And if you don't know Him, forget it. Your faith isn't going to work. Faith works by love.
Amen.
Faith, what kind of love? Well, first you've got to get His love for you before you can love other people. His love's got to fill you up. You've got to understand that He loves you first. Why do you think Jesus went through all that? For God so loved the people at Gethsemane that He sent His only begotten Son, that those that believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does Jesus call everlasting life? Let's look at it again. John 17:3. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Is that good stuff or what?
Yes.
I encourage you. This is one of the tools. We're talking about practical things to go from where we are to where we want to be. Where we want to be is Mark 16. With me?
Amen.
That's the vision. I'm telling you, one of the tools He has given us, put the Word of God in your mouth and begin chewing on it. Eat it like it is your very life, for it is. If the life of Christ is ever going to flow through you, you're going to have to eat His words just like He said you're going to have to do it. You can't eat, just like you can't eat a banana without putting it in your mouth. You can't eat His Word without putting it in your mouth. Start saying it and saying it and saying it. And if people call you an idiot, you say it anyway. You say it anyway. That's what Jesus said. Jesus cannot lie. He said that I lay my hands on the sick and they recover. You lay your hands on, maybe you did it for 4 hours, you know. You confessed that for 4 hours. You go out, find me a sick person. You pray. They die. It doesn't change anything. Jesus said, I lay my hands on the sick and they recover.
Right.
Now what's happening there? Faith, it's still in your head. It's still in your head. It hasn't become bone of your bone yet, flesh of your flesh. It hasn't become you. See, what happens to that banana? Let's say Linda does eat the banana. Now, as that passes through her system, what's going on? She has a digestive system in there. And what happens is that digestive system, it's drawing out the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients that's in that banana, is it not?
That's right.
Putting all of that into the bloodstream, and that starts coursing through her whole body and bringing life and vitality and creating fresh whole blood and blood cells and everything it takes to live. That's how we survive, is it not? Well, listen. You start putting the Word of God in your mouth and eating it just like you would anything else. You put it in your mouth is how you do it. You say it and you say it and you say it in the face of all contradictory circumstances. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Jesus cannot lie. This is the Word. And you eat it and you eat it. Now, in my opinion, we're going to talk about the second tool. Praying in other tongues is your digestive system.
Amen.
See, because there's a lot of people that know the Word. They know the literal Word. But they don't know Jesus.
Right.
All right? It's like, that would be like a person who ate the banana but did not have a digestive system. They can eat the banana. It would pass through them, eventually come out of their body.
But if there was no digestive system to draw the nutrients into them, it didn't do them any good.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit is the one Jesus has sent to teach you this book.
Amen.
Hey, I went to college. They give you a book and a teacher.
Amen.
They got that from God. He gave us a book and He gave us a teacher.
Glory.
And that teacher is the Holy Ghost. But it operates very much like your digestive system. You put that word in your mouth. You're eating it, bless God. You're going, you know, like Mark 16, just like we were doing there. I lay my hands on the sick and they recover in His name. I cast out devils. I have authority over devils. I mean, it'll start building as you do it. You know, boy, you're getting pumped and everything.
Hallelujah.
I think I've kind of got to preach instead of to teach on
Glory.
Me today. Hallelujah.
Glory.
You're getting pumped and everything. But see, it really, the power is from your spirit, not your soul. That's what you got to understand. I can get you psyched up like I was doing a while ago. It starts in the soul. It really does, because it's head knowledge. It starts in the soul. And I can get everybody jumping and howling and screaming and hallelujah, let's go find some sick folks. You get out there and they all fall dead when you lay your hands on them. The power doesn't come out of your soul. The power generator is that new man, that spirit on the inside. So what's happening, saying it is good, that's like eating the banana, but praying in other tongues. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 14:2. Give you a chapter and verse for this. You don't have to just take my word for it. Don't ever take my word for anything.
Amen.
I tell Dave, I said, Dave, I love you to pieces. I wouldn't trust you as far as I can throw you. I don't care what you preach. It's not scripture to me till I find it.
Amen.
I've been burned by too many well-meaning preachers.
That's right.
Now, I do respect and honor Dave. Don't think I don't. I do. That church door, when I'm in town, that church door's not open and I'm not there. But what I'm talking, now when he starts teaching something that I've never heard before, man, I take notes, I get that tape, I listen to that thing 10 times, and I'll check out every scripture. I'll start backing up and going forward and meditating that thing, and I'll pray in tongues myself till it becomes rhema to me, till I've got it. I know it's true, not because Dave said it, because the Holy Ghost taught it to me. Hallelujah, you got that? Now, praying in other tongues. What is really going on when you're praying in other tongues? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, now, or analytical word, this is how it be, this is what's going on. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries.
Amen.
What kind of mysteries? How to get the 10 kids out of the wheelchair? How to get blind eyes open? Is that a mystery to you right now? It's a mystery to the whole church. Our church is broken. Our machine is broken. It isn't working. We don't understand how to make it work either. Praying in other tongues is praying these very mysteries. Let me show you the ultimate mystery. Go to Colossians, Bible drill day. In the church I grew up in, we actually had Bible drill. Turn to Colossians. Turn to Galatians 3. Teach you how to do it. What mystery is it, Brother Gary, that I'm praying? What is it really that's going on? Well, we'll show you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. And we'll start in verse 25 for context's sake. Colossians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now notice this. Even the what? What's that next word? Even the what?
The mystery.
Now wait a minute. Over there in 1 Corinthians it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue is not talking to men. You're speaking to God and you're speaking mysteries. Here Paul is talking about a mystery. He says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known. In other words, God would like to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Glory.
Now let's talk about that for a minute. from what we taught here last night and from what you already knew, if you're born again, has that seed of the new nature been planted in you?
Amen.
Is Christ in you?
Amen.
Now, he may be at different levels of growth. You understand what I'm saying? It comes in like a seed, we learned from Mark 4, right?
Yes.
All right, now. But he's in there. Why is he in there? Well, so I'll feel more happy. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're getting some happiness out of your salvation. Why else is he in there? So I know God loves me. That's true. That's true. So I have a positive outlook on life. Well, that's true, you know. I mean, I'm not against any of that. But there might be a little more mystery to why God put that new nature in you than you've yet comprehended. One of it is this. Jesus is the second man, the last Adam, and he is Lord of all. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him. Devils are subject to his name. Cancer is subject to his name. All diseases and all sicknesses, all devils are subject to his name. He put his spirit in you so that you could be his vessel of authority on this earth. So that when you speak in his name, the Holy Spirit can work through your spirit and drive cancers out. Drive devils out and set the captives free.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. That's what this is all about. Well, that sure is a mystery to me. How do I let him out of there? That's why we're here. The whole idea is to let him grow up. And like Paul said in Galatians, be birthed. Where he's no longer, you know, a woman when she's carrying a child, she's really got the child inside of her. Now the world can't see the child yet, because it's still inside of her, isn't that right? But it's inside of her anyway. The child does exist. You may not be able to see it on the outside, but it's in there. But I got news for you. The whole world is looking at the church, and they're not even sure Christ is in us. You know why? They sure never see him on us. Well, what's the world going to major on? They're going to major on one fallen TV evangelist for the next 20 years. They're not going to major on the ones that did get saved and the ones that did get healed. I tell you, before you cast any rocks at Jimmy Swaggart, we'll compare how many you've gotten born again to how many he's got born again. You know, the church is the only hospital I ever knew of that shoots its wounded. I mean, for God's sake, you know, my Bible says if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one.
Amen.
In a spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. You hot rod, you. You know? Hey, I think they ought to build a statue. I've watched those television things, Sue and I, we might be doing something else, but we knew when Jimmy Swaggart was on, and we knew when to tune in, especially because we might be interested in something else, but boy, we wanted to catch that last 15 minutes of his program when that altar call came. My God, I love seeing those thousands flood that altar. Get them saved by the thousands week after week after week after week for how, God knows how many years he did that. There ought to be a monument erected, if anything, by the church to the souls that's going to be in heaven from his labors. Did a lot fall when he fell? Sure they did. Sure, that part of his works will be burned up with fire, but boy, that man's laid up lots of treasure into heaven.
Amen.
Treasure to God is people. That's what this gospel is all about, rescuing people. He's trying to save as many as he can. Well, I thank God. But what's the world going to major on? They're just going to look at the fallen part.
That's right.
See there, I told you wasn't nothing to it. Told you, Myrtle. I knew that something wrong, you know. Well, that's the way the world is, you know. All right. Now, Colossians. We want to talk about some of these tools. One of them is confession. Get the Word of God in your mouth. If you want your spirit man to be strong, you're going to have to eat spirit food. And Jesus says, my words are spirit. They are life. And if you don't ever put the Word of God in your mouth and eat it like you would anything else, you can't eat a banana, an apple, a steak, anything without putting it in your mouth. Put it in your mouth. Say it. Whatever he says about you, you say that about you.
Amen.
He says you're the salt of the earth. Bless God, you need to walk around for an hour or two going, I am the salt of the earth.
Amen.
Did you know he said that about you?
Yes, amen.
And he says, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Feed yourself on that for a little while. See, I may be the toenail on the little toe in the body of Christ. But I am born again.
Amen.
And I'm greater than John the Baptist. I walk in more authority and power. Why? I've got a spirit from above.
Glory.
The devil has got the whole church hoodwinked. He thinks God is all mad at us and that we're slimy dog worms. You know, just be thankful that God didn't make us toast today. And really, Jesus is up there cuddling. He's going, come on, house of praise. Come on, house of praise. Come on, Marvin. You can do it, boy. Come on, folks. Get into this. Eat some of my word. Get strong. Let that spirit man rise up in you and the devil will start running from you for a change.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory.
But hearing me preach it, I hope it's pumping you up. But that will not change you until that word becomes you. Just like the banana becomes Linda.
Amen.
Eventually the nutrients in that banana becomes her. You are what you eat.
Yes,
amen. Well, hearing me preach this won't make it work for you. Eating it yourself will.
That's right.
The Word made flesh.
Yes.
Glory to God. You've got to say it. You've got to eat it. Chew on it. Then let your digestive system go to work. Now, what's going on now? Well, now the Holy Spirit, He's starting to... You're speaking those mysteries, all that parts you don't understand about how to get that anointing to flow, how to make it work, see? He does know how to make it work. He is the teacher specifically chosen to come teach you that stuff. And you're going, and you've eaten, you've dined, you spent maybe an hour just doing nothing but confessing the Word right in the face of all contradictory circumstances.
Lord.
Now you want to spend another hour digesting. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Christos mandare grandos tibiandoro. And what you said in your head, out of your head, see, your soul, now all of a sudden it's starting to be like the Holy Spirit is drawing truth out of that word and literally feeding your spirit. Just like a natural digestive system draws the vitamins and minerals and feeds your body, now the Holy Spirit is extracting the truth of that word you put in your mouth. And He is feeding your spirit, man, and you will grow up. And eventually Christ will be formed in you. And eventually birth will occur. What does that mean? Honey, even the world can see Him then. On you. Glory to God. Is that good stuff?
Amen.
Now, the point of the lesson last night is this. We talked about Abraham and Sarah. Real simply, what did they learn? All right, God had promised them a son. Even though their bodies were dead, could not produce it anymore. The thing they learned was this. God had to do it.
That's right. Amen.
They tried to help. They tried to use natural wisdom and reasoning and you know, trying to assist God. God said, and they produced something all right. He says, that will never be my heir. That is not the son of promise. That's not how I do things. Nope, I'm going to have to wait till you're completely dead in the natural. Get completely dead, see. Where there's no hope, and even you know there's nothing you can do. Then turn to me and see how I do this. Now the end result of this is this. I got to keep this simple. Back to the trunk. Get this. Just like Abraham and Sarah, in the flesh, themselves, could never produce the Son of Promise. All of man's best efforts in religion can never produce the life of Christ. My God. Not wanting to particularly pick on any denominations, there are some ultra, ultra, ultra holiness type denominations where they would they condemn Linda to hell today. I mean, after all, she wore deviled stirrups in here. Deviled stirrups? Oh yeah, those earrings. That's what the devil uses to mount your mind, you know. I attended a church one time that if you I had no idea. I mean, I grew up in a denomination where ties were real common. Everybody wore ties. But I attended the church for a little while where if you wore a tie, they condemned you to hell because you're advertising for the devil. Advertising for the devil. Well, look at that tie. It's pointing towards hell.
Oh, my.
And God forbid you should wear red. Male or female.
Uh-oh.
Now, how many people are already condemned to hell here today? We got a tie over here. We got a red shirt. We got jewelry. Now, that's foolishness. How's Hagin put that? That's foolishness before daylight. Isn't that right? That's ignorance before daylight, isn't it? Hey, the devil, he would love nothing better for you to fall for that and a ton of other religious stuff your whole life.
Oh, he's got a million.
You got a million of them, that's right. Oh, man. And all of that comes for one reason and one reason only. Not knowing God.
Amen.
If you get to know Him, the more you get to know Him, the more ridiculous that kind of trash is. The flesh and efforts of the... Okay, now go back to Abraham and Sarah. Their plan and their efforts in the flesh could not produce Isaac. Correct? Had to be God. All they could do was stand there and believe. He gave them a vision. They could look at the stars and He told them what to say. And we are parents, basically. That's all they could do. That's hard for man. Man wants to do something. You know? No, stand and believe. But can I manipulate these people to get some money? My car payment's due. No. Stand and believe. Whatever it is He calls you to do. You see what I'm saying? That's hard for man. But in the same way that Abraham and Sarah could never have produced the Son of Promise, your best efforts in the flesh through whatever brand of religion you choose will never produce Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Flesh cannot produce holiness, for example. My God, that's what the law was all about. Here's Israel. God chose them out of the whole world. He just started with Abraham and He carves out a little nation to deal with here. And He says, basically they're going, we'll serve you, God. We're okay. We love you. We'll serve you. We're okay, Lord. Honest we are. And He's looking at them going, you're not okay. Yeah, we're okay. We'll serve you. Anything you want us to do, we'll serve you. We're okay. And He's looking at them. He knows they've got death in their nature. They don't know it. He knows it. But they're going, well, we're okay, honest. We're fine. We'll serve you. He says, finally, He goes, all right, since I can't convince you, here is my perfect law. Keep that. I'll watch how you do. And so they're going, not a problem. Yeah. Not a problem. We'll do this. Whatever you tell us, we'll do this. So they set out trying to do it. Day one, they sinned. Well, that was just a slip-up, Lord. I'll do better tomorrow because I know I'm really okay. He's going, you're not okay. You've got death in your nature. What? They don't even know they have a spirit. It's like Dave uses this example. I hadn't thought of a better one. It's like a mule that is convinced he's a thoroughbred. A racehorse. And you're trying to convince the mule. No, you're not a thoroughbred. You're a mule. I'm a racehorse. No, you're not. He said, I am a racehorse. And you're looking at him. He's got the long ears and the squatty body. And he's not a thoroughbred at all, but he can't see it. He says, no, I'm okay. I'm really a racehorse. Well, the only thing to do is put him in the starting gate with about 10 thoroughbreds.
Yep.
There he is, and he's still there just, I'm a racehorse, I tell you. And here goes, boom, there goes the starting gun. It won't take about four steps out to shoot. And he's going, I'm a mule. I mean, all I'm seeing is the behinds of all them other races. I am a mule. He was right all along. That's why God, mankind is going, we're okay. We're okay. No, you're not. Yes, we are. Here's the starting gate. Keep this law right here. And for four, however many hundreds of years it was, Israel proved to the whole world they wanted to keep it. That's Romans 7. He says, I wanted to do that which is right. But I found another law working in my members.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to do it. I wanted to keep your law, Lord. I mean, I thought I was okay. I found out I'm a mule. There's something in me that, even though I want to serve you, I want to do what you said, something in me, in my nature,
won't let me. What is it, Lord? Is there any hope for me? Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because when He, through the operation of what He did, that old mule, Adamic sin nature that was in you, see, the only way a mule could become a racehorse, he'd have to be born a racehorse. And the only thing you can do with a sinner, born of that Adam spirit with sin in it, it must be born again.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. That's what Jesus said. Now, if you want to rejoice, it's fine that these devils obey you, but don't ever forget your name's been written in heaven.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Now, if you've been born again, honey, you ain't no mule.
Amen.
That's bad English, but you know what I mean.
Amen.
You have the heart of Jesus Christ beating within your chest. You've got the champion of champions, the king of kings, the Lord of glory who knows no fear. That's the spirit you're born of now.
Hallelujah.
And the devil would try and intimidate you. The only problem is you don't know who you are. You don't know. See, now God's got the opposite problem with His church. Now, first, when He comes after you, He's got to convince you you're a mule. I'm not a sinner. Really? Here, keep this. And you go, sin, 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 go to the blood, sin, go to the blood, sin. Something's wrong with me. What is it? You're lost. You got a sin nature in you. Tell you what, make you a whole new deal. Give me that back. He says, you get born again. You receive my son. I'll take that old stony heart out of you. And I'll put a new spirit on the inside of you.
Amen.
You've got the very life and nature of Jesus Christ.
Glory.
And then you won't have to try and keep a written code. Because in that spirit is love. Love is the fulfillment of this whole book.
Hallelujah.
When you love like Jesus Christ, now you're not trying to love in order to please the preacher. You love because that's what you are. You love because that's what you are. You know, well, I have to forgive or God won't answer my prayers. When that nature grows up, you forgive because that's what you are.
Amen.
It's like Sue earlier. She was talking about the giving. Now, gotta be nice here. Gotta be nice. I don't even understand preachers that try to manipulate money out of the people. I don't understand that. Because I don't know any Christians that are trying to figure out ways to keep God from getting their money. All the Christians I know, they're trying to figure out ways to give more into the gospel.
Amen.
You know? Now, if I understand the mindset of a preacher who stands up there and says, well, before you don't threaten them with a curse, they won't give. If I don't promise them an apple on a stick, they won't give, you know. Blessings. Like, you know. And that's my favorite subject, so I can't go there very much. I don't even understand that mindset. Honey, when that nature of God starts, when Jesus Christ, for God so loved, He gave. And that giving nature, as Christ grows up in you, just becomes you. You have to restrain you. You give away the kids' milk money. I mean, it's just your nature to give. You don't even think about it. Where there's a need, I give. You know? Now, and God, almost with His church right now, has got the opposite problem He had with Israel. He was trying to convince Israel and the whole world they're mules. You've got to have a new heart. Your efforts is never going to get it done. And see, that's what's going on with the church in 99.9% of America, not just Guthrie. Mules. Doing it mules' ways. We're okay. We know how to start another program. We'll win this city for you ourselves. Thank you very much. Midnight basketball, swimming pool programs, whatever kind of campaigns, you know. Yeah, we know how to do it. Of course, never mind that we bury everybody that gets sick with any kind of terminal disease, and no blind eyes ever get opened, and no sick ever get healed. But we're okay, Lord. Really, we are. Now we've got just the opposite problem. Instead, you know, first God has to convince the world you're a mule, you're a sinner, you can't keep it because there's something wrong in your nature. But then once he puts that new nature in you and you get born again, you know what his problem with the church is now? Now we're going around. Now we're thoroughbreds. We've got the heart of a thoroughbred. We're going, we're mules. Now I can't cast out no devils. I'm a mule. Yeah, God wouldn't ever use my hands to heal the sick. I'm a mule. I'm just an old slimy dog worm. And the trouble is that most churches, thank God, not here, but a lot of you do understand that the vast majority of the pulpits every Sunday is not preaching this.
Right. Yeah.
I know how it was when I went to church growing up, and I felt worse when I left than when I got there. I mean, I already felt bad when I got there. Then they told me what a slimy dog worm I was and how mad God was at me. And I went, oh, man. And I got to come back next Sunday. You know? That's the problem God's got. Now he really has put the heart of champions, the heart of the thoroughbred, the heart of the thoroughbred in you. And here we won't believe that. And he's going, no, really, it's true. Jesus said, the original, the pattern. He says, no, really. If you believe, you will cast out devils.
Amen.
If you believe the works that I do, you will do also. And we read it and go, yeah, sure, me. It's a mystery to us. It's just hard to conceive. It's hard to fathom. It's hard to believe it can really be true. You know that old saying, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. The gospel is the only thing that sounds too good to be true, but is true.
Amen.
Again, I got to give you God's definition of grace. I give the life of my Son to dead sinners.
Glory to God.
He changes mules into thoroughbreds. Now, how are we doing? We're not doing too bad. All right, now, that was my introduction.
Amen.
Maurice, lock the door. Now go to John 12 again. We went to John 12 last night. Hallelujah. Y'all having a good time?
Yes.
Boy, I am. And I tell you, there's a glorious time coming. I think I just know how I am. After hearing, you know, we partook of communion, and every time I hear that gospel story again, and I heard Marvin today, again describing he was beaten where he didn't even look like a man. And I know that's in Isaiah. His visage, he didn't even look like a man anymore. And the older I'm getting, the more I'm in this, I'm going, in my life, he won't have suffered that from this.
Amen.
He won't have suffered that for nothing. Bless God, if the gospel is that I'm going to take these lost people and I'm going to recreate their spirit, and it's going to come in like a seed, and if they know what to do, they can nurture that seed till it grows up, and then they can destroy the works of the devil just like I did. If that's the gospel, and it is, boy, I don't intend for him to have died for nothing.
That's right.
I don't intend to stand before him and say, well, it just wasn't enough. What you did was great, and I appreciate it, but Jesus, it just wasn't enough. God forbid we stand before him like that. And I'm preaching to me as much as you. All right, John chapter 12, starting in verse 20 again. See, I stopped on purpose at a certain verse last night, because now we're going to talk about the price. Now, the price is not coming on a Sunday to hear a Gary Carpenter from Tulsa or any other preacher get you pumped up in the soulless realm about these things. That's not the price. Hey, that's the fun part. Let's talk about the price. All right. John 12, verse 20. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desiring him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now that's what the whole world wants to see. Guthrie and everywhere else, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And then Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die,
it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, that's where we stopped last night. We gave the example. Now, he was the only one, he was the only human vessel through whom God's life flowed. Everybody else's spirit was from beneath. His spirit is from above. You got that? Now let's go on, though, because now he talks about the price. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where was he going? Where?
Cross.
You're right. Say it louder for the tape.
Cross.
Boy, that's where your flesh doesn't want to go. We're going to get to the price now. If any man serve me, how many of y'all would like to serve him in miracles?
Amen.
Gifts of healings?
Amen.
You want to serve him? Notice, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. He says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. In other words, his soul wasn't liking it either. You see what he says there? My soul's troubled. Now, even Jesus, the very Son of God, you remember what he agonized his prayer in the garden? Father, if there be any other way. If there's any other way. What's he struggling with? His life on earth. And do you understand? You know, the Bible says he was tempted in all points like we are. And we don't believe that. We go, no, he's Jesus, the Son of God. I mean, he was never tempted. That's not what the Bible says. It says he was tempted in every point just like we are. He's going, Father, if there's any other way. If there's any way, take this cup from me. And he says, my soul is troubled. At one point, he says, you know, I could pray the Father and he would send 12 legions of angels and deliver me out of this situation. Think about that. He knew he could come down off of that cross any time. What if he'd got halfway through it? Think about this. The pain, the suffering, beaten to where you don't even look like a man. And then about halfway through, God, thank God he didn't do this, but what if he had said, Father, I just can't take it anymore. Send those angels and get me off this cross and we'll just let them all go to hell. Boy, you better thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ, see? But now he has put that kind of character in you in seed form. It can be developed to where even though you won't like it, he obviously says, my soul is troubled about this. But he says, should I pray my Father to deliver me from it? This is the reason I can. Amen?
Amen.
Alright, now let's go a little further. Because, see, if I leave you right there, you kind of got a down feeling. You don't know what to do. You say, well, see, I felt better before I got here. Go to Luke 14. What we're going to talk about now is the price of exaltation. Because every one of you loves the Lord. You wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning, or like especially yesterday and then Friday. Tonight, you wouldn't come if you didn't love the Lord and wanting to serve the Lord, unless your parents made you. I don't know. But now, is it possible to go from where you are right now, whatever level of ministry the Lord is using you, whatever level of power you're operating in right now, is it possible on purpose? Is there something you can do on purpose that will cause you to be promoted to greater and higher levels of authority and power in the kingdom of God? Yes, there is. Right? And we're going to look at Luke 14. We're going to start verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those that were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms. And he said unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and then thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Now, stop right there for a minute. Jesus is teaching here. He's using a parable, something we all understand. But he's teaching on exaltation in the kingdom of God. I see a lot of people go around promoting themselves. That's why these guys were choosing out the chief rooms. Well, I'm somebody, I'm so-and-so, I'm a Pharisee, I'm a fat cat, and I need to sit on the front row where everybody can see me. You know, that's the way in the world you do it. In the business world, you know, God forbid, you know, just God help anybody that gets in your way. You're going to self-exalt your way to the top. Right? Same thing in the church. Alright? Jesus says, no, that's not the way you do it in my kingdom. You take the lowest place. You take the lowest place. You do what you're told. Take the place of the servant. But listen, if Jesus ever comes up to you, and he will, if you take your place, the lowest place, the place of the servant, the day will come, he'll come to you and he'll say, friend, come up higher. And when Jesus says, friend, come up higher, you're going up higher. Ain't nothing the devil can do about it. It won't matter if every other church in town is mad about it. When Jesus comes and he says, friend, come up higher, what he's talking about, you're going to walk in more anointing. You're going to walk in more authority. You're going to walk in more power than you've ever walked in before. And all of a sudden, miracles start busting loose at your services. Every person you lay your hands on, they recover in Jesus' name, just like he said. Friend, you have come up higher. You see what he's teaching on? He's teaching on exaltation in the kingdom of God. And when that happens, even your friends, notice what he says, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. What does he mean? Those that know you best, they'll be able to tell something happened to you. When Jesus comes and says, come up higher, you're going up higher. And even the ones that eat meat with you, the ones that know you the best. I heard Benny Hinn's wife say this one time. Said, when Benny's on that... Now, I have a husband named Benny. But when he gets up on that platform and the anointing of God falls on him, that man is not my husband. He has gone up higher. He's operating in something that's not the same man that I sit and eat meat with. You see what he's saying? All right. Let's keep going here. We may have to expand on this tonight, son. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now let's keep going, because I want you to understand he is talking about the very same thing we've been talking about, which is laying hands on the sick, seeing them recover, and casting out devils and all of that. Now watch. Then said he also to them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. Now notice this verse in particular. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Does that sound anything like a group of people we've been talking about? Casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, seeing them recover, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, and the lame walking? He is talking about that, how to prepare a feast where these people can come and dine. Now the feast you're preparing is the banquet table of God. Christ is the meat on that table.
Amen.
And when they come, if we can ever learn how to make this kind of a supper, and he's talking about your services, we can have a church service where the blind can come and dine off of that table and they won't be blind anymore. The maimed, do you see that word maimed? That means they're missing something. A foot, an arm, a leg, something. He says, you call them to your services. And when they eat, they can't. How are they going to recompense you for that? I can't imagine. I mean, thank God all my kids are healthy. I can't imagine what it would be like if I had a child born without a leg. And then somebody somewhere had paid the price where when I took my child to that service, there was enough of Jesus there where a new leg grew out on my
time. Glory to God.
How could you ever repay something like that? You can't repay that. Man, all you can do is worship God. Let God repay him, because you never could. You'd never be able to reward him.
But oh, in heaven they'll have a reward there. It won't be burning up either. He's talking, but it starts with taking the lowest. Taking the lowest one. We're going to get to exactly what that is in a minute. I can tell I am. What? Oh my God. Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. What I'm going to have to do, because we're just now getting into the meat. Let me read this. Let me just read it from there. Look at verse 13. We're also going to teach on meditation now during this week. Now, I want you to notice he does not change the subject. Look at verse 13. When thou makest a feast called the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Come on down to the last part of verse 21. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Has he changed the subject?
No.
All right? Now, and he started off by talking about becoming his disciples. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to jump to the end for the time. No, can't do it that way. No, I can't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. We'll go as far as we can. When one of them, verse 15, Luke 14, 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto them, A certain man made a great supper. You might as well know he's talking right now about God the Father. He made a great supper. How? He sent his son, offering salvation. And let's go further, offering the new birth to everybody who would die. And he bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. Now who did God send Jesus to first?
Jews.
The Jews. That's what he's talking about. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Now what does that mean? Plain English. I'm too busy with other things, I don't have time. Thank you anyway. I know you've made this great supper where there's healing and miracles and the new birth and all of these fabulous things, but I could come dine off that table. I thank you for the invitation, but I'm just too busy with natural, normal things, you know. So please have me excused. Verse 19, And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. This is the workaholic. His job, he spends his whole life from the birth to the grave thinking about money and cars and houses and how to educate his kids and better clothes and trips to Europe and all that stuff and power and prestige is his God. I don't have time to come down off that table, thank you very much. But I'm just too busy. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Now, Pastor Dave puts it like this. He says, Now, your wife may be a problem. She is never an excuse. When you stand... Let that sink in a minute. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be you and him.
Amen.
And your wife is not going to be holding your hand. Neither will you be holding her.
Can't say like Adam did.
It's this woman, who said he won't be. It didn't fly for Adam. It ain't going to fly for you. It's this woman that gives me, Lord. No. Well, people use that for excuse. I know God called me to be an evangelist, but my wife just wouldn't hear of it, so I couldn't do it. You think that's going to hold water when you stand before the Lord? When you stand before Him, who suffered to the point you couldn't recognize him as being a man? Well, my wife didn't want me to, Jesus. She got mad. Send her packing.
I would give
her a chance. Reminds me of Norval Hayes, you know. He was a rich millionaire in his 20s. Married a beautiful woman, looked like a model. And he was a member of the first church. And he says on the tapes, it's the First Baptist Church, Cleveland, Tennessee. And that's where all the lawyers and doctors and everybody went, you know. And it was really a social type church. But Norval got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus comes, sits in his car for 2 hours with him, calls him to preach, tells him he wants him to go feed the poor people who live at the dump.
And so Norval starts obeying God. And his wife says, Norval. Of course, also, they kicked him out of the church. So, you know, Norval starts going to the full gospel type churches, you know, the little poor ones across the tracks. Now, it's not the big, beautiful brick church anymore where all the prestigious folks went. So now Norval is not only taking food down to the dump in his Cadillac car to feed the people, but he's also attending these services. And his wife is looking around going, Norval, this is not what I bargained for when I married you. I don't want to attend this church. I don't want you feeding people at the dump. And I do not want to have anything to do with these kind of people. Now, he gave her space to repent. But he wasn't. He said, I am going to serve God.
Glory.
God came and sat in my car and told me he wanted me. And I'm going to serve him. Now, what you do is up to you, but I'm going to do what he told me. No, she left him. And she did too. And he left her. And they had a daughter. And Norval did not remarry for 35 years. Just goes to show you, it wasn't anything like another woman in the wings or anything. It was real. He didn't remarry. He just got married a year or so ago in his 70s. Hallelujah. That's what he's talking about here. He says, you're not going to be able. Now, what if Norval had bowed to the will of his wife? In Norval's lifetime, God, only God, can keep the records of how many people have been saved. How many devils have been cast out. Just when he visited the prayer center a few weeks ago, we had a man there named Eddie, who had such a kidney stone that was so big. He's a veteran. Muskogee Veterans Hospital couldn't deal with it. They sent him to Memphis for that sonic-type treatment, you know, where it's supposed to dissolve it. And it was so big, they couldn't handle it. And they were sending him back to Tulsa now, and to operate the way it was going to be real dangerous. But he had it scheduled. You know, they're going to have to remove it that way. Norval comes to town.
Hallelujah.
Teaches a simple... I mean, Norval's messages are always simple. That's what I love about Norval. And he's one of my patterns, you know, one that I look at. Preached a simple message. Got anything? And here's Norval. He's from Cleveland, Tennessee. You got anything wrong with you, get yourself up here.
Amen.
I'm going to pray Jesus is going to fix you. That's Norval. Okay? He gets up there and all he does is just walk down the line going, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Gets to Eddie. In Jesus' name. Splat. Flat on the floor. Diagnosis. Kidney stone gone.
Glory to God.
Gone.
Glory to God.
There was, he's got x-rays. It was there before. It's not there now.
Glory.
One minute he had it. One minute, Norval knows God. Norval has paid the price, even to losing the wife he loved. I mean, if he didn't want her to leave. He loved her. Didn't remarry for 35 years. You think he didn't love her? Couldn't find one to compare with her for 35 years. But if it comes to choices. If I have to choose, I've got to choose Jesus. And so again, Pastor Dave, now it works both ways, women. Your husband may be a problem. He also is never an excuse. You're going to have to learn to obey God. They're not going to be holding your hand when you get there. Hallelujah. Man. Hallelujah. We're going to just flat run out of time, you guys. There's too much here. It's too rich. All right. We'll finish up this one part anyway. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Verse 21. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Now then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither, here they are again, the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now keep it in context. The supper he is talking about is what's on that table to serve to the halt, the lame, the poor, and the blind. He is not just talking about salvation here. He's saying, these men that will not give me their time,
They'll never eat off that table.
Right.
You'll never be able to serve it to the halt, the maimed, the poor, the blind. You're going to have to come and dine off of this table that I've prepared. I have anointings for you. It's all in that life of Christ. And if you'll learn to come eat from that supper table that I've prepared, you'll have all these things. But if you will not, you'll never have. You'll never have. And you may preach a nice little church, a little social gospel, and everybody talk nice about you for 50 years, and not one person got healed. Not one blind eye ever got open. And it's not that you won't go to heaven. Thank God you will. The blood is enough. Thank God for that. But I do not want to be one of those that stands there and watch a lifetime of works be burned up as by fire. Oh, God, I don't want that. I want to dine from that table. I want to get this word in me and let the Holy Ghost digest it to where when you bring in the halt, the sick, the poor, and the blind, I've got something to serve them off of the Master's table. Amen? Amen. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.